कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः।
Hare Krishna. So we were in chapter 2. We completed up to text number 11. So a quick revision of the last class, because we met many weeks ago. So we had divided the whole chapter into four sections. Text 1 to 11 was perfection of religion. And then 12 to 22 is hearing as the process of achieving perfection in Krishna consciousness, which means what we are going to discuss today is all about hearing as the ultimate process of perfection in achieving perfection in Krishna consciousness. And the third section is 23 to 29, Krishna, the supreme goal and only object of worship. And the last section was 30 to 34, how the Lord, though transcendental to material world, He creates and maintains His creation. Yeah. So, in the last section, text 1 to 11, we were discussing about how Suta Goswami is offering obeisances to His Guru, and also He is offering obeisances to Lord, to Vyasadeva, and He is appreciating the hearers. He is glorifying the hearers. And then the answer is given to the first two questions. You all remember Savai Pumsam Paro Dharma, text number 6 we read. And then He also said there is no material qualification needed for pure devotional service. And the goal of our Swadharma is to satisfy Krishna. And then we concluded with absolute truth in three features. Vadanti Tattva Vidas verse. Okay. Now we are going to the next section. Verse number 12 to 22. See, these verses, they talk about advancement in Krishna consciousness, step by step. For example, you all know this Adho Shraddha Sadhu Sangha Bhajana Kriya, isn't it? So verse number 12 talks about Shraddha. And verse 16 talks about Sadhu Sangha. 17, Bhajana Kriya. And 18, Anarthanivritti. So 12 is talking about Shraddha. And then 16, 17, 18, they are talking about Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anarthanivritti. Again, 18 is also speaking about Nishtha. Nishtha, Bhakti. Then 19 is talking about Ruchi. Or Asakti, it's called. And verse number 20 is talking about Bhav and Prem. both. So as we proceed, we will come to know. These words will come in those series of verses. We'll go to the verse number 12.
Tatshaddhadhana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaya pashyantyatmani chatmanam Bhaktya Shruta Grihitaya.
The seriously inquisitive student or sage, well equipped with knowledge and detachment, realizes that absolute truth by rendering devotional service in terms of what he has heard from the Vedanta Shruti. So this verse says, Krishna can be realized by devotional service. And what does devotional service begin with? Hearing and chanting. Shravanam and Ketanam. So, he also uses the word touch, Shraddha Dhana Munayo. So, we'll read the purport and then we'll discuss. You have another mic here? Yeah, please read the purport.
Purport. The absolute truth is realized in a full by the process of devotional service to the Lord. Vasudeva, or the personality of Godhead, who is the full-fledged absolute truth. Brahmana, Brahman, is his transcendental bodily effulgence, and Paramatma is his partial representation. As such, Brahman or Paramatma realization of the absolute truth is but a partial realization. There are four different types of human beings: the karmis, the jnanis, the yogis, and the devotees. The karmis are materialistic, whereas the other three are transcendental. The first-class transcendentalists are the devotees who have realized the Supreme Person. The second-class transcendentalists are those who have partially realized the plenary portion of the Absolute Person. And the third-class transcendentalists are those who have barely realized the spiritual focus of the Absolute Person. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita and the other Vedic literature, the Supreme Person is realized by devotional service, which is backed by full knowledge and detachment from material association. We have already discussed the point that devotional service is followed by knowledge and detachment from material association. As Brahman and Paramatma realization are imperfect realization of the Absolute Truth, so the means of realizing Brahman and Paramatma, that is the path of Jnana and Yoga, are also imperfect means of realizing the Absolute Truth. Devotional service, which is based on the foreground of full knowledge combined with detachment from material association and which is fixed by the aural reception of the Vedanta Sruti, is the only perfect method by which the serious
oral reception. Oral reception means hearing through the ears.
Is the only perfect method by which the seriously inquisitive students can realize the Absolute Truth. Devotional service is not, therefore, meant for the less intelligent class of transcendentalists. There are three classes of devotees, namely first class, second and third class. The third class devotees are the neophytes who have no knowledge and are not detached from material association, but who are simply attracted by the preliminary process of worshipping the deity in the temple, are called material devotee.
I'll explain a little bit what it is. Jiva Goswami explains that there are three levels of devotees. Prakrita Bhakta. He says, Archayame Vahariye, Shraddham Pujiye Hate, Nadat Bhakteshu Anyeshu, Sabhakta Prakrita Smritaha. Bhagavatam says this, that some people come to temple to take darshan of the deities, but they don't sit down and hear the Bhagavatam class. You have seen that? We have experience of many devotees coming to temple. They bring even flowers or fruits. They offer it to the Lord, they pray to the Lord, bow down and they go away. Even though a class is going on, they don't hear the Bhagavatam class. Why? Because they don't know the value of hearing. They don't know the value of devotees. So they are more attracted to the deities than the devotees. Such people are called as Prakrita Bhaktas, neophyte devotees. And then if they keep coming to temple, serving the deities regularly, someday some devotee will see them, catch them, give them some prasad, give them a mala to chant, you know, sit with them and talk to them. And gradually they develop some fondness for a devotee. They develop some relationship with the devotee. Then they are not so much attracted to philosophy, but they are attracted to the loving nature of a devotee. But the devotee tells them, if you love me, then you should chant Hare Krishna. If you love me, you should read this Prabhupada's book. So because they love the devotee, they have to follow him, whatever he says. And then while doing that, gradually they get awakened. And they come to a stage to understand what is the difference between a devotee and a demon. They can clearly see the difference. And then they come to the Madhyamadhikari stage. From Kanishtadhikari, they come to Madhyamadhikari. Then they can understand four things. Who is Lord? Who is devotee? Who is non-devotee? And who is innocent? Innocent means not bala bala or masum. Innocent means non-blasphemers. Who doesn't blaspheme the Lord? They are called innocent. Because somebody may be even smoking, drinking, watching movies. But if he doesn't blaspheme the Lord, he is called innocent. On the other hand, somebody may be very pious. He may be not eating meat, not drinking wine. He is very pious, but he is against Krishna. You know, as soon as you open Krishna, talk about Krishna, he starts blaspheming Krishna. He is considered non-innocent. So, four categories of people you can clearly see. Who is a devotee? I mean, who is Lord? Who is devotee? Who is atheist or dveshi? Dveshi means one who is envious of God. Who is a innocent person. Then you become a Madhyamadhikari. Then Madhyamadhikari means, you know, you keep long distance from dveshis. You will not associate with them. And you associate with devotees very closely. And for innocent people, you give them your association to them. And as far as Lord is concerned, you love him so much and you want to render service to him in the company of other devotees. Like that. Then you become a Madhyamadhikari. And then as you advance as Madhyamadhikari, what happens? You come to the stage of Uttamadhikari, which is a very advanced stage, where you see every living being as child of God. You know, you don't see, you know, difference between all these different people. You see everyone as Krishna's devotee. That's a very advanced stage, Uttamadhikari. So here he is talking about one who is attracted to the deity worship, and they are called material devotees because they have no understanding of the value of a devotee. Or they don't know the value of hearing. Like in Tamil Nadu, South India, they have a rule that whenever you go to any temple, you have to sit for some time. You know, you should not go away. You know, that is some policy they have like that. So we remember very well when we were small children, parents would take us to temple, and then after ringing the bell, circumambulating, we will sit in one place. You know why we should sit in one place? It is said, why that rule is made? When you go to temple, you should not walk away. You should sit for some time. Why the rule is made? Yeah, something will go into your ears. You know, because if you go and sit in a temple, some lecture will be going on, some kirtan will be going on, something will enter inside. Just like this verse, it says, Shruta Grihitaya, Shruta Grihitaya. Shruta means hearing. And then when something goes into the ears, that may awaken attraction for Krishna. Just like Prabhupada gives a story in his lecture that once there was a Bhagavatam class going on in a temple, and a thief happened to pass by, but then he heard the speaker speaking very beautifully. He was telling some story. So this thief also took some interest and he heard what it is. Then the speaker was telling about Krishna, how Krishna is very opulent. And he wears very beautiful jewelry and ornaments, and his mother Yashoda decorates him very attractively and everything. So when the thief heard about, you know, gold and silver and diamond and pearls, everything, he became interested. It's my subject, he thought. You know, he immediately sat in the lecture and he heard very attentively. Generally people go to sleep, but he never slept. He was very attentive. And then any questions, the speaker asked. He was the only one who raised a hand. Yes, can you please give me the address of that fellow, Krishna? Speaker said, "Oh, he lives at the bank of Yamuna, and there are Kadamba forests nearby. How can I locate him?" He said, "He plays on his flute." But any other way I can locate him? Yes, he has a peacock feather also, and he's very beautifully decorated with all jewelry and ornaments and everything. And he's the darling of Yashoda and Nanda. And you go to Vrindavan, anybody will tell you who Krishna is. He is the apple of eye of everyone there. So this thief was remembering these two, three things. Vrindavan, Yamuna and Krishna, these three names. He thought, I should not forget. So remembering them again and again, he arrived there in Vrindavan. And as soon as he came to Vrindavan at the bank of Yamuna, he could see Krishna face to face immediately. He was a small child crawling there. He said, "Oh, this is Krishna." Exactly, the description is matching whatever the speaker said. He immediately started flattering the child. "Oh, my dear boy, you look so beautiful. My dear baby, come, please come and sit in my lap." He was catching. And then he said, "Let me see your jewelry, you know, what you are wearing. Can you please give me?" And he was asking. And Krishna said, no, my Maya will be angry if I give it away to you. She will ask me, where is it gone? How will I answer? I cannot give you. So he said, okay, I'll give you some bananas to eat. Please give me. He was trying to, speak to the child very beautifully and take away. So Krishna said, okay, you want all my ornaments? Take whatever you want. Krishna removed and gave. But by the time he touched Krishna and saw Krishna's beautiful form, all his thievery mentality went away. And he completely forgot for which he came to Vrindavan. His mind became stolen. So there's a beautiful verse. See, Prabhupada quotes this verse. It's in Bhaktirasam Sindhu. It's not there in the book. It's not there in Bhagavatam. This you will get from one of the Chaitanya Charitamrita purports. It's a very beautiful verse. It says, Smeram bhangi traya parichitam sachi vistirna drishtim vamshi nyastadara kishalayam vajvalam chandrakena Govindakyam haritanumitah keshi tirtopakanthe ma prekshishthastava yadi sakhe bandhu sange stirangah. You know what is the meaning? See, smera means smiling. Bhangi traya parichitam means the Lord whose body is bent in three places. He's bending his neck, he's bending his hips and keeping his leg like this. Threefold bending form. Sachi Vistirna Drishtim. Vistirna means very big eyes, like a bumblebee. And Sachi means which is watching in the side like this. That is Sachi. Lord sidelong glance, which is very beautiful, and the mouth which is smiling, and the Lord who is standing in threefold position. And where is that Lord standing? Vamshi Nyasta Adara Kishalayam Ujjwalam Chandrakena. He is Vamshi means the murli, the flute. Nyasta means the Lord is keeping the flute in his lips. Kishalayam means like a fully blown flower. The lips are very beautiful. And the moon lit night. The moon is shining on his lips. Ujjwalam. And what is his name? Govinda Akhyam, he says. He is called as Govinda. Haritanu Vitaha. And his body is transcendental. Keshi Tirtopa Kante. And where is he standing? He is telling, he is standing near the Keshi Ghat neighborhood, in the bank of Yamuna. Tirtopa Kante. Ma Prekshishtaha, he says. Do not see him, he says. Tava. Do not see him. Tava yadi sakhe bandhu sangesti rangaha. If you want to maintain your materialistic friendships with material friends and material acquisitions, do not go to see that beautiful boy standing in the bank of Yamuna. Like that the gopis are speaking to each other. So Prabhupada is quoting this verse. And Prabhupada says, the idea is that if you see Krishna once, then you will forget all this nonsense material enjoyment. He is saying. Once you see Krishna once. In fact, that is a proof that one has seen Krishna. Like many people ask, have you seen Krishna? Somebody asked Prabhupada also. So So what is the proof whether one is seeing Krishna a one shot thing or is it a process? Is it a process or a product? Actually seeing Krishna is a process. Gradually we see Krishna more and more clearly. Just like in a camera, if you keep moving the focal, zoom lens, you know, at one point of time you clearly get the focus. Similarly, we can see Krishna better and better and better and better in our life. At a certain point of time, we can clearly see Him, very clearly. So here, Prabhupada is saying that if you see Krishna once, then you will forget all this nonsense, material enjoyment. Just like Dhruva Maharaj said, Swamin Kritarthosmi Varamne Ache. He said, no? My dear Lord, now that I have got Divya Ratnam, then I don't want this Kacham. Kacham Vichinman Api Divya Ratnam. I don't want the broken piece of glass now that I have seen you. He said like that. So, Prabhupada is explaining this Shraddha Dhana. The translation, it is written as seriously inquisitive. In the translation, word to word translation. So, Prabhupada is saying, what is this Shraddha Dhana? Shraddha Dhana means not only inquisitiveness, it also means faithfulness. One must be faithful and inquisitive and eager to see God. And that's why Prabhupada is telling the story of the thief. Like he is giving an example. Just like, say, here in our temple there was one gentleman who was an automobile mechanic, you know. So this automobile mechanic was so learned in automobiles, you know. Any car, any two-wheeler going in the road, he can immediately tell you the name simply by seeing it from a distance. And he can also tell you the model also, you know, what model car it is and everything. Very, very, because he has been in this field for about 20 years or so. So one time, in our temple, we got one Tata Estate. You know what price we got it for? 50,000 rupees. Can you imagine? Can you get a car in 50,000 rupees? But if you see the car, you will faint. It's a big car, like a big elephant. Huge, long size. It looks like a foreign car. You know, and all cooling glass on all sides. If you see the car, you will think maybe it is 25-30 lakh rupees car. Looks like that. But we got it at what price? 50,000. So somehow we got the car. We didn't consult with this fellow. Somehow we got the car. We thought it was very cheap. And the car came to temple. And when we started driving it, we realized one thing. You know, once the starting of the car was very difficult because 5-6 people have to push it. The beginning. And then it starts. And then it goes from here up to the GPO and then it stops there and again it won't move. Again it was stopping. So it goes only, you know, from this much, and then from there to Pune station it will go and stop there. Anyway, we called this fellow to check this car. He came. So as soon as he started the car, he said, Prabhuji, somebody has cheated you. He said, he didn't even drive the car. He just put on the car, that was making sound. Immediately he said, the engine of this car is 20 years old, he said. He said. And we asked him, how do you say? I can tell you from the sound. He said. Then immediately we took it to the garage. They opened the car and everything they saw. Exactly, it was 20 years old. You know? So, this is the meaning of qualification in automobile. So, Prabhupada gives an example of a mechanic. See, Prabhupada is saying, it's not there in the purport, it's from Prabhupada's lecture I'm telling you. Prabhupada is saying, mechanic can see what's wrong with the automobile. So for seeing a machine, we need a qualification. Then how can we see God without qualification? He's asking. Even for seeing a car, you need some qualification. Because we didn't know, how did we purchase a car? By seeing the outside. It was pure white, you know, a nice dark cooling glass. It looked like, so that automobile specialist was telling us, you can make any old car look very new, simply by changing the body, you know, the external body. You can make it very attractive, you know, just for sale, and make it. But how should you buy a car? You should drive and see. And you have to ask which model car it is. How old is the engine and everything, you should check. So, in the same manner, for seeing God also, you need a qualification. And what is the qualification needed? So this is one verse that Prabhupada used to quote very often. It's a very famous verse. And Prabhupada would repeatedly quote from Rupa Goswami. You all can repeat this verse. Krishna Bhakti Rasabhavita Matihi. See, Rasabhavita Mati means consciousness. Krishna Rasabhavita Matihi means Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada says from this shloka only he got the term ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. From this verse he got. Prabhupada says, this is Rupa Goswami's verse. Krishna Bhakti Rasabhavita Matihi Kriyatam Yati Yadi Kutobi Labhyate. He's saying Krishna Bhakti Rasabhavita Matihi, Krishna consciousness. Kriyata means you should immediately purchase it. From where you should purchase it? He's saying Kutopi Labhyate. Wherever you find Krishna consciousness, you should at once purchase it. He says, do not delay. It is a very, very rare commodity. Rupa Goswami is saying. So, now you may ask, who can purchase Krishna consciousness? Maybe, if somebody is a pious person, can he purchase? So, he says, Janma Koti Sukhrudir Na Labhyate. He says. That means, even in Koti Koti Janam, if you have done pious activities, Na Labhyate, he says. This cannot be achieved. That means if you have dug wells, if you have supplied water, if you have given uniforms, if you have given notebooks, if you have fed annadan, if you have laid roads, if you have planted trees, with all these things, or even performing karmakandi yajnas, worshipping demigods, and going to Ardha Tirtha Sthalas, with all these pious activities, you cannot purchase Krishna consciousness. He is saying. That's why he is saying, Janma Koti, Janma Koti Sukhrutai Na Labhyate. Even if you have done a lot of Sukhruti, material piety, you cannot get Krishna consciousness, he says. Then how can you get? Tatra Lavalyam Ekala Mulyam, he says. Tatra Lavalyam Ekala Mulyam. He says you can purchase Krishna consciousness only with one thing, which is eagerness or greed to attain Krishna consciousness. So, Prabhupada is saying, Krishna cannot be purchased with anything material. You know? And Krishna is not poor also, that he wants something from you. He has everything. And he says, Krishna's devotee is also not poor. In fact, Krishna's devotee is ready to, willing to give you this Krishna Bhavanamati, if you want. But you have to pay the price, he says. And what is the price you have to pay? You should be eager. He says, Shruta Grihitaya, he says. Which means eagerness to hear. So here comes a very important point. You see, we all get up early morning for Mangalarti. Are we very enthusiastic for Mangalarti? If you very carefully observe, many a times we come for Mangalarti because our attendance is there. Otherwise I have to write Mahamantra. It is done out of a sense of duty. Correct? So there is no eagerness. But sometimes it's likely that you may have eagerness also. You may like to come, you know, and take darshan of the deities, chant with devotees, dance in Mangalarti, hear the class. In the same manner, you also think about hearing classes. What is the quality of your consciousness? Ask yourself. Whenever classes are there in the morning, you have classes, like right now we are having a class. Whether are your ears becoming more and more like a chataka pakshi. You know chataka pakshi? Chataka pakshi wants to, you know, chataka pakshi will be waiting for the swati rain. Only that water only the pakshi will drink. It will never put the head down to drink the ground water. Always the water coming from the sky. Similarly, the ear becoming chataka pakshi means you don't like to hear cinema music. You don't like to hear gossip. You don't like to hear blasphemy about other devotees. You don't like to hear about which cinema actress married which cinema actor. You don't like to hear cricket scores. You don't like to hear politics. You don't like to hear about sex life. The only thing your ears want to hear is about Krishna. and your ears are very enthusiastic and eager to hear Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, then that means that eagerness has become awakened. That type of greed is required. Shruta grihitaya. That is actually the price we have to pay. If we pay that price, then we can get Krishna very easily. Yeah, please go ahead in the purport.
Material devotees are more attached to material benefit than transcendental profit. Therefore, one has to make definite progress from the position of material devotional service to the second class devotional service, devotional position. In the second class position, the devotee can see four principles in the devotional life.
Correctly, I told you four things? Yeah.
Namely, the personality of Godhead, his devotees, the ignorant and the envious. One has to raise
the ignorant himself, or the innocent, yeah.
One has to raise himself at least to the stage of a second class devotee and thus become eligible to know the absolute truth. A third class devotee, therefore, has to receive the instructions of devotional service from the authoritative sources of Bhagavata. The number one Bhagavata is the established personality of devotee, and the other Bhagavatam is the message of Godhead. The third class devotee, therefore, has to go to the personality of devotee in order to learn.
You understand this one, no? The number one Bhagavata is the established personality of devotee, and the other Bhagavatam is the message of Godhead. You can underline that. So there are two types of Bhagavatam. The book Bhagavatam and person Bhagavatam. So the devotee is like a walking scripture. Walking scripture. So now this is scripture. And if somebody is practicing the scripture completely, his mind has become, his mati has become completely absorbed and fixed in Krishna. He does not think of anything of this world. Then he is called as a walking Bhagavata. He is called as a walking scripture. So, out of the two, book Bhagavatam and person Bhagavatam, what is the difference? They both are same, it is said. But there is also a difference. Like, you know, there is a difference between the Ganges river and a pure devotee. What is the difference? You know, Gangara parasha hoile paschate pava darshana pavitra karo e tumara go e varo karuna karo Vaishnava gosa. So in this song he says, if one takes a dip in the Ganga, then one becomes purified. Whereas simply by looking at you and having your darshan only, one becomes purified, he says. For Ganga, you have to touch Ganga, the water. But for you, simply by looking at you, one becomes purified. Person Bhagavatam, like Prabhupada or our spiritual master, by darshan of such personalities, you know, immediately at once one remembers Krishna. That is one definition of a Uttam Adhikari. Uttam Adhikari means, like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went to this Kuliagram, three times the people of Kuliagram asked Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about, you know, who is a Vaishnava? First he asked a question, Satyaraj Khan asked this question, who is a Vaishnava? And Mahaprabhu said, anyone who has chanted Krishna's name even once is a Vaishnava, he said. Then after some years, again Mahaprabhu went there, they asked, who is a Vaishnava? Mahaprabhu said, one who is chanting Krishna's names constantly, he is a Vaishnava, he said. Then after some years, again Mahaprabhu went, they asked, who is a Vaishnava? And Mahaprabhu said, anyone by looking at whom one immediately is inspired to call Krishna's names, such a person is a Vaishnava, he said. So these are three adhikaris, Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari and Uttam Adhikari. Like Anishta Adhikari means who? Like anybody who has chanted Krishna's name once, he should be accepted as a devotee. Madhyam Adhikari means one who is always carrying the bead bag and chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And one who is serving Krishna always. That means we have not yet come to Madhyam Adhikari stage also properly. Because once chanting is over morning, we keep it aside. Now we don't want to touch the bag again till the next morning, you know. Madhyam Adhikari is supposed to be chanting always. And Uttam Adhikari is one who chants Krishna's name so much that if you see him, you don't remember anything other than Krishna. Immediately, as soon as like Prabhupada, when he went to San Francisco, you know, Mukund, Mike and Jan, they became Mukunda and Janaki, you know. So they had actually preached and brought about 50 people. And those 40, 50 people were completely new. They have never seen Prabhupada also. When Prabhupada landed in the airport and he got down from the airplane, when he walked, immediately they all started chanting Hare Krishna. How? That's the meaning of Uttamadhikari. Uttamadhikari means you look at him, immediately you remember Krishna. Because you don't remember anything other than Krishna. Like that. So, Prabhupada is saying here that the number one Bhagavatam is the established personality of devotee, and the other Bhagavatam is the message of Godhead. Go ahead.
The third class devotee therefore has to go to the personality of devotee in order to learn the instructions of devotional service. Such a personality of devotee is not a professional man who earns his livelihood by the business of Bhagavatam. Such a devotee must be a representative of Sukadeva Goswami, like Sukadeva Goswami, and must preach the cult of devotional service for the all-round benefit of all people.
Yeah. You see, often many times when we come to devotional service, we have come for various reasons. You know, we like singing, or we like prasad, or we like some social gathering of young people like us. So we might have come, some or other. Nothing wrong in coming like that. But after some period of time, we have to wake up to understand that if I really want to grow in Krishna consciousness, one of the first steps is to hear from such a person. Like here he says, the third class devotee has to go to the personality of the devotee in order to learn the instructions of devotional service. Bhagavata padiya bhagavata sthane. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that. He says, if you want to learn about the Srimad Bhagavatam, then you have to go to a Bhagavata to learn. See, when Srinivas Acharya wanted to learn Bhagavatam, where did he go? He went to Gadadhar Pandit. And Gadadhar Pandit was such an exalted Bhagavata that he had cried tears of love for Krishna while reading Bhagavatam, and all his Bhagavatam ink got spreaded out. So he told Srinivas Acharya, you go to Bengal and get it written again from Brahmanas and bring it. Nowadays you pay 5,000 rupees, you get a Bhagavatam set. You know, in those days they have to write it. You have to employ some Brahmanas to write. You know, so then Srinivas Acharya had to go back to Bengal and get it written and bring it back. So why he went to Gadadhar Pandit, which means if you want to learn the scriptures, especially like Bhagavatam, it is not something we study like, you know, we study our college textbooks without having to go to college. Most students give a proxy in the class, you know, and they read the books themselves. Nowadays you get Ekalavya notes. You know what is Ekalavya notes? Those guys also give the name Ekalavya notes. Why? Because Ekalavya didn't go to Dronacharya to learn, but he made a portrait of Dronacharya and he learnt on his own. So you can also buy some notes and read on your own. So scriptures cannot be studied like that. For learning scripture, you have to hear it from a practicing person. Walking, talking scripture. Of course, we can read the Bhagavatam purports of Prabhupada because they are recorded sound of a pure devotee. So we can get the same benefit of hearing from him directly because he has spoken it. He has spoken and he has written. And also, we should always look for very advanced devotees from whom we can hear if there is an opportunity. Say, for example, we go to Bombay to hear from His Holiness Radhanath Swami. Like on Saturday morning, Sunday morning. Why? We should make it a practice to take our time and go. At least monthly once when he is in India. To go and hear. Bombay is not very far. You know, worldwide people are hearing in internet. You know, people are downloading from desertry.com and hearing. And hearing him speaking directly, sitting in the front of a great soul like that is very, very rare. Why don't you take advantage? But oftentimes, like there is a story of a man who was born in Jagannath Puri. And the Jagannath Puri temple was from NVCC office or something, so near, from here. Every morning he would come out and sweep the floor outside his house. So somebody asked him, hey, have you been to see Lord Jagannath? He said, I am born in Puri, what are you asking? Jagannath is right here, he said. But have you seen Jagannath? He said, any day I can go and see, you know, he is so nearby to my house. In this way he spent his entire life and he died without taking darshan of Jagannath. Why? Because he took it very cheaply. Jagannath. But people are coming from all over the world to see Jagannath. People from nook and corner of India come to take darshan of Jagannath. So sometimes we may have something very easily available and we may take it for granted. Yeah. So Prabhupada is saying here, see further what he says here. A neophyte devotee has very little taste for hearing from the authorities. Correct? He's saying very little taste, yes. Such a neophyte devotee makes a show of hearing from the professional man to satisfy his senses. This sort of hearing and chanting has spoiled the whole thing. So one should be very careful about the faulty process. The holy message of Godhead as inculcated in the Bhagavatam are undoubtedly transcendental subjects, but even though they are so, such transcendental matters are not to be received from the professional man who spoils them as the serpent spoils milk simply by touch of his tongue. So you can underline that sentence. Any of a devotee has very little taste for hearing from the authorities. Such an neophyte devotee makes a show of hearing from the professional man to satisfy his senses. Now, many people, they hold this Bhagavat Saptaha, 7 days in India, where a person speaks from 10th canto of Bhagavatam, you know, Rasa dance and all that they speak, like that. Or oftentimes nowadays in the modern day lectures, they give a lot of jokes. Sometimes political jokes, they talk about, you know, politicians, you know, they talk about, you know, cinemas, they talk about so many other things. The Bhagavatam is not purely spoken. The message of God is not given to people. So it's mixed up with so many other, masala items. So the essential message is forgotten. Actually, if you see Prabhupada, whenever he met anybody, one of the first things he will tell people is how we are suffering in this world. We have to tell the truth to people. We are suffering and we have to go above suffering by what process? By surrendering to Krishna. If our lecture doesn't contain this truth, we are simply cheating people. So, if you are a preacher, don't cheat people. Tell them the truth. If you are a hearer, look for preachers who will tell you the truth. Yeah, we have to hear the truth. But sometimes in the name of hearing a class, we may be simply pampering our senses. We'll be looking for is there something new, some masala, which I have not heard before, something interesting. And then at the end of the lecture, say, Aaj ke, Anand ki, Jai, you know. And people say, you know, we had a very nice time. People say this sometimes in lectures and in lectures and bhajans, people say like that. That is not the purpose of lecture. The purpose of the lecture is actually to purify us. That's why Prabhupada is saying a neophyte devotee has very little taste for hearing from the authorities. Such a neophyte devotee makes a show of hearing from the professional man to satisfy his senses. So even like all of you are preachers, you know, you are going for giving, discover yourself and all that. You should be very careful. We should not, if you are a manager or something, you should not mix up management with the Bhagavatam. For example, you want to chastise some devotee. You can use Bhagavatam as a means to scold the devotee. You understand, no? If you are in charge, if you are a PM or if you are a OC, you know, yesterday you had a tussle with the devotee on some issue. Now you are going to give class. In the name of giving class, you scold the devotee from the purport. You know, Bhagavatam should not be used for such purposes. We have to actually speak from the scripture, whatever the scripture is saying. So we should not, sometimes people don't study Bhagavatam properly, because of which what they do, in the name of speaking Bhagavatam, they will be just talking worldly things, which is like a Gramya Katha, it's called. What is Gramya Katha? Gramya Katha means talking Prajalpa. You don't talk Bhagavata, you speak Gramya Katha, material talks. So that is simply useless. There is no use in speaking. That's why he is saying that if you are to hear, the pure devotees, they are free from the tendency for criticizing others. Anya ninda shunyam hridamipsita sangalabdhya, Rupa Goswami says. Because they are free from the tendency for finding fault in conditioned souls and others, And because they are absorbed in remembrance of Krishna always, and they always glorify Krishna, one should associate with such great souls. Whenever we get opportunity, we should take advantage. Like Prabhupada went to Koshi. He wanted to hear from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati rather than to go for that Sheshasayi temple to take darshan of Vishnu. Prabhupada sat and heard from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, because hearing is like taking injection. Like if you have a viral fever, you take an injection. And then viral fever will be gone. It's like a vaccination or taking injection. Hearing process. And Prabhupada is criticizing the professional reciters. Prabhupada is saying, somebody may say, like one Mataji, very old Mataji, 60-year-old Mataji, we interviewed her for initiation. So we asked her, Mataji, you know, what is the difference between ISKCON speakers and other speakers? Morning also in TV there are so many, you know, Swamiji's coming and speaking and all, you know, can we hear from them? She said, why not? Ultimately what they are speaking is from Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, wo bhi Krishna Lila batate hain, you know, wo bhi Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavat se batate hain, isme kya galat hai? We can hear from anybody. Ultimately, as long as you speak from Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, what's wrong? She was asking. But here Prabhupada is saying, yes, Bhagavad Gita is transcendental, Bhagavatam is transcendental, but the speaker is not transcendental. There are many cheaters. So they will not bring out the message from the scripture to you. They will cheat you. How can a speaker cheat you? They will take this message and instead of giving the message to you, they will tell you something else only. They will tell you something else. Just they will pamper you and keep you, and then you will not even know what you are. Where am I supposed to go? You will not be led. The professional reciters are simply cheaters because they take money also. You know, they are organized by some rich people who give them 5 lakh rupees or 10 lakh rupees. So when they come, they flatter those people in the first lecture fully. One full lecture is on flattering the person who sponsored. You know, that's all, yeah. Because if you don't flatter, the next year he will not call you. Yeah, most of the time it goes in that, yeah. And then the further lectures also, he will see that the organizer is sitting. So I have to make him sufficiently laugh and sufficiently happy. Because the goal is not to please Krishna. The goal is to satisfy the organizer who is supplying you money. So Prabhupada is saying such kind of hearing is useless. Read further, next paragraph, a sincere devotee.
A sincere devotee must therefore be prepared to hear the Vedic literature like the Upanishads, Vedanta and other literatures left by the previous authorities or Goswamis for the benefit of his progress. Without hearing such literatures, one cannot make actual progress. And without hearing and following the instructions, the show of devotional service becomes worthless and therefore a sort of disservice.
That you can underline. Without hearing and following the instructions, the show of devotional service becomes worthless. So, Prabhupada was one special acharya in the modern times who made it very clear, if you really are coming to temple, you want to meet a sadhu, then you should be willing to hear the instructions and apply them in your life. Don't make a show of devotion service. Like for example, one boy, he was so poor at one point of time when he was becoming a devotee. He became a devotee and then in his early stage, you know, he completed his degree with great difficulty and he comes from a very poor family. And after he was not getting job, he was seeking help of many, many devotees and at last he got some job paying meager amount. Today he has come to a position where he is earning 1 lakh rupees monthly. Can you imagine? And he was giving, you know, in the early days when he got a job, he was giving 250 rupees for easy. Now, after earning 1 lakh also, he was giving 250 only. You can understand, no? What it shows, that means one becomes intoxicated in material life generally. One becomes swallowed by the python of the material life. And one doesn't want to come forward and dedicate one's wealth, one's energy, one's time for Krishna service. You know, people don't become like that. So Prabhupada would say, don't make a show of devotional service. What is show of devotional service? Naam ke vaste practice. Like most of the religious people in India are some generally pious people. According to them, worshipping God means morning you ring a bell and do a little bit of puja and all day you have sense gratification program. All day. God is, you know, one small aspect of their life. But Prabhupada taught Shuddha Bhakti, which means 24 hours you have God with you. God is the main thing for you. And whatever is a non godly program, you gradually try to nullify it from your life. You try to bring Krishna into your office. You try to bring Krishna into your home. You try to bring Krishna into your car by hearing Guru's lectures. You try to bring Krishna into your pocket by carrying picture of Guru and Krishna with you. You try to bring Krishna in your morning. You try to bring Krishna in your evening. You completely Krishnaize your entire time and energy and everything. So, that's why he's saying, without hearing and following the instructions. First of all, you have to hear. Many people don't come to hear only. That's the first step. They are so afraid that they don't want to hear also. But if somebody hears it, and then what is the next step? Apply. Put it into practice. Yeah. You heard the story of three dolls, no? A king got three dolls and all of them looked alike. And the seller was selling different price. He said, this doll is 100 rupees, this doll is 500, that doll is 1000. He said, really? Why? They all look alike? Well, what is the difference? Then the seller smiled and he said, please bring me a copper wire, he asked. He said, yes. Brought a copper wire. So when the king inserted the wire inside this thing, it came through the other ear. You know, you know, it went through one ear and came through the other ear. It just came out because there was a straight hole in that door. So then with two wires on either side, the king kept it aside. Then he took the next door. He got another wire. And he put it. When he put it, he inserted it. It came through the mouth. So then he kept that doll also. That was 500 rupees. Then another doll, third doll he got, 1000 rupees doll. He put it inside. It was not coming only. Then he asked the man, what happened? This is going inside, it's not coming out only. He said, it's going straight to the heart. He said, you cannot see that, but it's going to the heart. He was telling. So the first doll represents what? Hearing and leaving it, not holding anything, not remembering anything. Hear in this ear and leave it in this ear. Some devotees say, Prabhuji, I am reading so many Prabhupada's books, nothing remains in the head. So one of the ways to hold things is to tell others. You preach to others. Then gradually you can start holding like a sponge that can hold the water. So the second doll was hearing and telling others, but not applying in life. There are many people who can give very good upadesh to the world, but they will not practice themselves. That is why apani achari kori sabare sikai, they said. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he himself became an example for his followers. Without becoming an example, we cannot tell anyone, do this, do that. Otherwise, it will become eyewash. Isn't it? So the third doll represents you hear and it goes to your heart. That will come later on also. Shrinvatam, Sokata, Krishna, Punya, Shravana, Kirtanath. You hear and it go to the heart. So, two things he is saying. Without hearing and following the instructions. We should not play a double role in life. What is double standard role? Like, you know, when you come to temple, you wear dhoti, kurta, tilak and kantimala and you chant, dance, you are a wonderful devotee. When you go in the outside world, when you meet materialistic people, you behave in materialistic ways. There are boys, when they go out, they are hearing rock music with their friends. You know, they are playing video games. You know, they are downloading all kinds of sites from the net. And then they are talking all vulgar words with their friends. And then when you come here, you wear tilak, kantimala, Hare Krishna, you dance very beautifully. This is called as double standard. So this is called as chameleon. You know chameleon? You know chameleon? Chameleon, when it is on grass, it will be green color. When it is on tree, it will be brown color. You understand, no? Similarly, boys, when they go home, they switch on the TV, and they are changing 120 channels this way and that way. And they are thinking, now I am far away from boys. Nobody will watch me. You know? So, a devotee should not play a double role. We have to. See, if we play a double role, we cannot get Krishna. That's called as duplicitous. And duplicity. That's why he is saying, you have to hear first, and then you have to follow. Yeah, the instructions. Yeah, go ahead.
Unless, therefore, devotional service is established on the principles of Shruti, Smriti, Puran, or Panchatantra authorities, the makeshift of devotional service should at once be rejected. An unauthorized devotee should never be recognized as a pure devotee. By assimilation of such messages from the Vedic literatures, one can see the all-pervading localized aspect of the personality of Godhead within his own self constantly. This is called samadhi.
Yeah. Often whom do we call as a pure devotee or advanced devotee? See, our estimation of a devotee's advancement is based on our own misconceptions. Say, for example, like in Pune temple, one time a devotee came. He looked effulgent like a sun, you know. Isn't it very beautiful, fine dress he was wearing, saffron and everything. So one of the devotees, we don't even know who he was. He came from some other place, very elevated soul, he looked like elevated soul. People often go by the external appearance, you know. So if somebody is very fair and glowing, then people think they must be very advanced, you know. So one of our brahmachari preachers, they took him to the evening program, to give a program. Of course, he's an ISKCON devotee only, from some other place. I will not tell you where. But later on, we came to know. So when they took him, in the name of giving program, my Lord, he was telling so many Hindi cinema songs in the lecture. One thing, he didn't speak from Prabhupada. He was telling so many things, this and that. So this devotee could not stop him also. He was in great trouble. At last, after 1 hour, he stopped. At the end of the lecture, he said, I'm very sorry, you know. I have full faith in Prabhupada, that Prabhupada is a Mahatma, is a great soul. Only thing is, I have not read his purports. I have not read his books. So whatever I spoke, if I spoke anything wrong, please forgive me and all, he said at the end. So this devotee came back and told me, Prabhuji, I got very disappointed. Because I thought he must be a very advanced devotee. By seeing him externally, I misjudged him, he said. So one is by external appearance. Another thing, we think somebody is very advanced if somebody, you know, is extensively quoting in Sanskrit language. Correct? Based on scholarship, we estimate people. Actually, there are Brahmanas in South India who can tell you Bhagavatam cover to cover without seeing. 18,000 verses. Even today, they have memorized it like that. So that is one way we estimate. So Prabhupada is saying here, towards the end of the purport, what he says? An unauthorized devotee should never be recognized as a pure devotee. Yeah. Then how do we know who is a pure devotee? That is given Jnana Vairaga Yuktaya. In the same verse, you see the verse? Tachadda Dana Munayo Jnana Vairagya Yuktaya, he says. And what is the Jnan? Prabhupada is saying, Jnan is not this scientific knowledge for inventing a bomb and killing people. That is not Jnan. Jnan is for stopping the cycle of birth and death. That is called the Jnan, he says. And what is Vairagya? Prabhupada is saying, material enjoyment means money and woman. In America, Prabhupada is saying, in America, money is thrown in the streets, he is saying. So much money is there when Prabhupada went, he saw. And women you can pick up from the street. There are so many women available for you. But then these American boys and girls, they have given up such a affluent country and they have become Vairagis. Because they have Jnanam. Jnana and Vairagya also have a connection. So how did the American boys and girls give up America and come to a country like India where the lifestyle is quite challenging for them? If you go to America, you will see the roads are very broad and the life is more fine. The luxuries and comforts are too many. How can they leave that and come here? Because they have Vairagya. Detachment, he says. So he's quoting a nice example. You know Chittaranjan Das, you all know? You know Chittaranjan Das in those days was earning monthly, when he was a 50-year-old man, he was earning 50,000 rupees per month. In those days, 50,000 means, the modern times, it's like 50 lakhs. It's like that per month. 40, 50 lakhs, it's like earning like that. Because it was too much. So he was earning 50,000 rupees in those days. And Gandhi told him, for the sake of freedom struggle, I request you to give up this job. You give up this post. Not only Chittaranjan Das. Gandhi told everyone to quit all the British colleges, British schools. Boycott. Don't accept degrees. He told them. Swadeshi movement. Reject the British textile dresses. Reject their education. Reject their schools. Whatever they supply, you reject it. Then they will not be able to sell anything here. Then quit India. You can throw them out of India. So C.R. Das very reluctantly gave up that job. But within 1 year he died. And Prabhupada is saying why he died in 1 year. Because giving up that big job caused him so much pain in his heart that he couldn't live for more than 1 year. Prabhupada writes that. Huh? Yeah. On the other hand, the opposite example Prabhupada is quoting of the Goswamis of Vrindavan. Tyaktva turnam ashesha mandalapati shrenim sadatuchavat bhutva dina ganesha kau karunaya kau pina kanthashrito. He's saying the Goswamis were such famous ministers of Bengal, many big jamindars used to come and flatter them, praise them. But they gave up that flattery. They gave up such a flattery of very big rich people, and they were ready to wear just a kaupin and wear a kantimala and wear tilak and take on the beads. And nidra hara viharakadi vijitav. They conquered sleep, they conquered eating, they conquered recreation. And you go to Vrindavan, even today you will find there is a gufa of Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami and all, where they would go and just chant Hare Krishna. They fulfilled all the instructions of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by establishing temple, deity worship, and going around Govardhan, leading a great Vairagi's life. The last paragraph, both talk about how they were constantly maddened in glorifying Krishna. Krishna utkirtana, gana, nartana parav. Utkirtana means they loudly chanted Krishna's names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Similarly, the last verse says also, Maha Vihvalav. Vihvalav means, they cried in great separation of ecstasy, asking, Hey Krishna, where are you? Are you in Govardhan? Hey Shrimati Radharani, where are you? Are you in Radha Kundar? Where are you? Are you in the bank of Yamuna? Hey Radhe Vraj Devike Chalite, Hey Nanda Suno Kutaha, Goshanta Viti Sarvato Vajipure, Khedair Mahavihvalav. They felt great separation, and due to which they cried very loudly. So, they were great Vairagis. Vairagya means not using anything for personal sense gratification and using everything for Krishna's service. That is Vairagya. So, Tat Shraddha Dana Munayo Jnana Vairagya Yuktaya Pashyanti Atmani Cha Atmanam Bhaktya Ashrita Grihitaya. So, within one's own heart, one can clearly see the truth, how by these processes, Shrita Grihitaya, by hearing. So as I told you, this 12 to 22, these verses are about hearing. By hearing only, our faith in Krishna will increase more and more. Hearing is the actual process. And by hearing from atheists and hearing from non-devotees and materialists, then our material consciousness increases more and more. And by hearing from devotees and hearing from Bhagavad, then our understanding and surrender to Krishna increases. It's a beautiful verse it is. And also it's a Shraddha Dhana Munayo. Shraddha means with great faith and eagerness one should hear. That is very important. Because if our hearing is out of duty, like we are arranging this Wednesday program, we are not even able to arrange it every Wednesday. It's almost like alternate weeks or something like that. 12 Wednesdays in 6 months or so, we are trying to arrange. So, we should not only come as a matter of duty. Okay, now I have dutifully come. I have given my attendance. Rajan Prabhu has seen my face. So, he won't be upset with me that I didn't come. that should not be the goal to come. We should also be eager to know what the Bhagavatam is saying. Then only we will understand and we will apply and we will grow. If all of you grow, then you will be able to inspire the people, other people with you. So, I dwelled a lot on this verse because it's a very important verse. So, in summary, we will see what all I discussed in this particular verse. What the first thing I told you? Yeah? Shraddha? I told about Shraddha, I told you? Okay, three types of devotees. That is Kanishta, Madhyama, Uttama. We discussed about them. And also I told you about Chatraj Khan in Kuliagram meeting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, asking about three types of devotees. We discussed also. Then we discussed about Shraddha. Because he says, Tat Shraddha Dhana Muniyo. Then I told you the story of the thief who heard Bhagavatam and then he went to Vrindavan, correct? Because he heard with great Shraddha, he could realize Krishna very easily. And then, so we were talking about eagerness to see God. Then we talked about qualification to see God. You know, remember the mechanic? Automobile mechanic. I told you about our Tata Estate. Car. And I told you how, because of his 20 years experience, he could very easily see what type of car it is and all. Similarly, we can also become qualified to understand God, but for that, first we have to have the qualification to see God. What is it? That is the Shraddha and eagerness. Faith, eagerness and inquisitiveness we need. So then I was quoting this Smeran Bhangi, Traya Parichitam, Sati Vistirna Drishtim, that verse, which talks about one gopi telling another gopi, you know, Ma Prekshishya, Ma Prekshishthas, Tava Yadi Sakhe, Bantu Sangheshti Rangaha. If you have the Sangarangaha, Sangaranga means material attachment to the material world. Do not go to the banks of Yamuna, she says. Because if you see that beautiful Krishna playing on his flute, while his lips are shining under the, like a beam under the moonlight, moonlit night, your heart will get sold out. So do not. So Prabhupada is saying, generally in this world, if you tell a person don't do it, they want to try it. Sometimes you should tell a child, hey, I have kept some, you know, chocolates in that bureau, don't open that bureau, I will give you tomorrow. Child wants to open it and finish it in the night only. So, sometimes some verses are spoken like this, to increase our enthusiasm for attaining that love for Krishna. So I was quoting that. And you remember for eagerness to attain Krishna, I quoted another verse, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Amati Kriyatam Apiyadi Kutopi Labhyate Tatra Lavalyam Ekalam Mulyam Janma Koti Sukritaina Labhyate. So even by material piety you cannot attain the Krishna Bhakti, but how we can attain? He says, Tatra Lavalyam Ekalam Mulyam, only by eagerness. So what is this eagerness, you may wonder, what is this inquisitiveness or what is this eagerness? How we can have it? So, whenever we do devotional activities, we have to be a little extra conscious. Like when you wake up in the morning, the tendency of the mind is to remain dull. Mangalarti, sometimes you find, you know, Chetodarpana Marjanam is saying, when the entire thing is over, Sri Chaitanya Chikshashtakam Ki Jai, then everyone bows down, then one realizes it's over now. What paragraphs did I sing? What is the meaning of each paragraph? We don't contemplate on that. That is actually lack of attention, lack of consciousness. So what we have to do, very simple. I heard His Holiness Raghunath Maharaj gave a lecture this Sunday on how devotion, how surrender is very simple. He was telling. Actually, he said, you think surrender is difficult? No, it's very simple, he said. Actually, it is very simple, but it becomes complex because our mind is very complicated. It becomes complex. Otherwise, it's very simple. How is it simple? Just meditate on the meaning of every paragraph. When you are singing Samsara Dhamanala, meditate on each paragraph meaning. Think about the spiritual master. Think about the meaning of how he is living each of those verses. Similarly, Narasimha Dev, think about Prahlad. You will be transported to Hiranyakashipu's palace. You can see Hiranyakashipu shouting at Prahlad. You can also see Prahlad's sweet voice. You can hear Prahlad saying that Lord is everywhere, including this pillar. And you can also see the form of Lord Narasimha breaking out of the pillar and coming out and, you know, killing Hiranyakashipu. So you will put yourself in the presence if you are absorbing your mind. So attention and consciousness should be put. So Shruta Grihitaya, by hearing and contemplating, hearing and attentively, consciously hearing, we will advance. We'll go to the next text, text number 13.
अतपुंभिर्द्विजश्रेष्ठा वर्णाश्रम विभागशः स्वनुष्ठितस्य धर्मस्य संसिद्धिर्हरितोषणम्.
यू सी इन भागवतम देयर आर सम वर्सेस विच टॉक अबाउट द गोल ऑफ लाइफ. दिस इज वन वर्स, संसिद्धिर्हरितोषणम्. It says, the Varnashrama is there only to please Lord Hari, for no other purpose. Why there is Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra? Is it there so that society can unitedly, cooperatively work together? Brahmana will give knowledge, Kshatriya will give protection, Vaishya will produce grains, and Shudra will do hard labor. So all four can come together, each of all the people can symbiotically help each other, and everyone can live happily. Is it the goal of life? No, this is. The whole society should ultimately aim at pleasing Vishnu. It doesn't say samsiddhir samaj toshanam. It doesn't say samsiddhir kutumba toshanam. No. Samsiddhir mana toshanam, indriya toshanam, kutumba toshanam. It doesn't say. What it says? Samsiddhir hari toshanam. Very important. Often times in the modern days, people, when we are telling about ISKCON activities, and they ask you, what all you guys do? We say we preach to children, we preach to college students, we preach to company people. We go to homes, we teach Bhagavata, Bhagavatam. Their face is very small. And they ask, don't do any social service? Then you tell them about midday meal. That is something wonderful. They think it is very good. You are doing a very great service. They are very happy. At least one thing you are doing good. They think like that. Samaj ke liye kuch to karte hain aap. But if you read Prabhupada's purports, in one purport Prabhupada is saying, all the jivas are all energy. They are like parts of the body. Like a hand, for example, if the leg is very tired, can the hand help the leg? Of course, the hand can massage the leg. But over a period of time, why we feel weaker and weaker and weaker? Because we don't feed the belly. Now, even if the hand takes some laddu or rice and gives it to the leg, you are feeling very tired, I'll give you some rice. The leg cannot be peaceful. If the leg has to again regain the strength, you have to put the food in the belly only. So hand is like one human being, leg is like another human being, ear is like another human being, nose is like another human being. All the different members of society, they cannot become satisfied by helping each other mutually. That's what communism talks about. Communism says, share equally and enjoy. But what about God? They say, forget about God. Then there is suffering. That's why communism was overthrown over a period of time. So whether it be capitalism or communism, everything is finished. The reason is, now America stands for capitalism. It is now on hands and knees now because of recession. Communism is thrown off in Russia. We can see that. Because all the so-called isms will not sustain as long as people are forgetful of God. You can see that. But if the hand takes the laddu or food and puts in the belly, then all parts get nourished. That's why some said there, hari toshana. And we should very boldly preach this truth. Sometimes we may not be convinced. You know, if you are surrendering to Krishna and chanting Hare Krishna and dancing, will society become happy? Actually, society will become happy. Do you know how? Because the nature works under Krishna's instruction. If you are singing Krishna's names, you are worshipping Krishna, then if he is pleased, if Krishna smiles, then nature will smile. If Krishna is upset, nature will be upset. Nature will simply reflect Krishna's mood. So we have to simply please him. He is the person behind the nature. Just like nature is the purpose is mother and God is the father. So we should be convinced. That's why he is saying, Samsiddhir Haritoshana. Read the translation. Okay, translation I'll read. Oh, best among the twice born. It is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging the duties prescribed for one's own occupation according to caste divisions and orders of life is to please the personality of Godhead. Purport.
Human society all over the world is divided into four castes and four orders of life. The four castes are the intelligent caste, the martial caste, the productive caste and the liberal caste. These castes are classified in terms of one's work and qualification and not by birth. Then again, there are four orders of life, namely the student life, the householder's life, the retired and the devotional life. In the best interest of human society, there must be such divisions of life. Otherwise, no social institution can grow in a healthy state. And in each and every one of the above mentioned divisions of life, the aim must be to please the supreme authority of the personality of Godhead.
And each and every one of the above mentioned divisions of life, the aim must be to please the supreme authority of the personality of Godhead. Yeah.
This institutional function of human society is known as the system of Varnashram Dharma, which is quite natural for the civilized life. The Varnashram institution is constructed to enable one to realize the absolute truth. It is not for artificial domination of one division over another.
Like the Brahmanas, you know, treating the Shudras as untouchables, you know, and neglecting them or exploiting them. That's not the goal of Varnashrama.
And the aim of life, that is realization of the absolute truth, is missed by too much attachment for Indriya Priti or sense gratification, as already discussed herein before. The institution of the Varnashram is utilized by selfish man to pose an artificial predominance over the weaker section. In the Kali Yuga or in the age of quarrel, this artificial predominance is already current. But the saner section of the people know it well that the divisions of the caste and orders of life are meant for smooth social intercourse and high thinking, self-realization, and not for any other purpose. Here in the statement of Bhagavatam is that the highest aim of life or the highest perfection of the institution of the Varnashram Dharma is to cooperate jointly for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.13.
Yeah. Like you go to a company like Bajaj, they have R&D department, isn't it? So what is R&D department? Brahmana. It's a Brahmana department. There is an administrative department. What is it? It's a Kshatriya. Management of the whole organization. Yeah. There is finance and accounting. And also the department which talks about shares and, you know, earning money for the company and profits and everything. So there's a Vaishya department also. And there are Kalasis or workers working in the shop floor. So they have Shudra. So if you take a modern day industry also, we have these four classes. Nobody can deny that. If somebody says, you know, why you guys are introducing all this Varnashrama and all, everywhere it is there in society, we can see. So, like, I went to this IIT Chennai. We saw IIT Kharagpur also. For one class of professors and all, they have one type of block houses. And for other people, workers and laboratory people, they have other type of houses. And for the worker class people, they have only like chal kind of thing, you know, single, single. So, you will find these kind of classes cannot be abolished in society. These kind of classes are there. And these people are doing these things without reference to religion also. It's not that they refer to some Bhagavatam to make this kind of facility separately. No. Like for example, MD of a company will come in a Mercedes Benz, you know. And an average worker may come in a Luna, you know. Now a Luna man, a worker cannot say, I also want a Mercedes Benz. You know, give equal rights. You can't say that in a company. So trying to abolish this kind of uniqueness in these futures of different people is simply a useless, endless argumentation. That's why you will find Varnashrama is there. As Prabhupada says, it's good for social intercourse. Why social intercourse? Social intercourse means everyone does something which is very spontaneous and natural for them. And by doing that, the whole society can be taken very good care. Like this is compared to a social body. Head is compared to what? Brahmanas. Shoulders are compared to? Kshatriyas. And stomach is compared to? Yes. And legs to? Shudra. So it's called a social body. Just like our body is functioning very smoothly. Like that, the society can function smoothly when these things are there. But if a society forgets the aim of life, then materially they may be happy for some period of time. But they can't be happy for a long time because, you know, all these different parts of the body will start fighting with each other without keeping God in the center. Greed will predominate. They can't be happy. That's why Samsiddhir Haritoshanami says. Now, the previous verse was talking about Shruta Grihitaya. You have to only hear about the Lord. Now, somebody may say, if I am simply hearing about the Lord, you know, what about my Swadharma? That's why this verse says, yes, you can do your Sva Anushtitasya Dharmasya. Yes, no problem. You know, it's not that you have to be only hearing. But you have to remember that even in performance of your Swadharma, the goal should be Samsiddhir Haritoshanam. Yes. We'll recite the next verse.
Tasmadekena manasa Bhagavan Satvatampati Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Dheya Pujyascha Nityada.
Therefore, with one pointed attention, one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember and worship the personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the devotees. Purport?
If realization of the absolute truth is the ultimate aim of life, it must be carried out by all means. In any one of the above mentioned castes and orders of life, the four processes, namely glorifying, hearing, remembering and worshipping are general occupations. Without these principles of life, no one can exist. Activities of the living being involve engagement in these four different principles of life. Especially in modern society, all activities are more or less dependent on hearing and
You heard the sentence? Activities of living being involve engagement in these four principles of life, is saying. What are the four principles? Hearing, glorifying, remembering and worshipping. Try to think carefully. In your life, before you became a Krishna devotee, whom were you very much fond of hearing about? Some of you might have wanted to hear about Bruce Lee. Like I was very fond of this Shaolin, you know. 36 Chamber of Shaolin and all kinds of Shaolin temple movies. So, of course, they are also one type of sadhus. They are like monks, Chinese monks. So, but Shaolin, so many movies have come, Shaolin temple, you know, Shaolin tradition, all those things. So we have some ideal about whom we want to hear. Or somebody might have attracted to some cinema actor, cinema actress, some politician, or some cricketer. Is it not true? Or some musician. Correct, no? All of you think for a moment. Surely you must have had, you must be having some ideal about whom you would want to read more. Surely. And what we do with that person? These four things we do. We hear about that person. We glorify that person. We remember in the mind. And we worship. Just like I remember in those days, the small transistors used to be there, you know. And people would hear the cricket scores. And they will also share with others how much score has come till now. So, Shravanam and Kirtanam, you know. They will do, hear the scores and tell other people, And then glorify and make big, big posters of cricketers and stick in your room. Like you go to any boy's room, some big, big pictures are there, correct? Yeah, that's the proper saying. Activities of the living being involve engagements in these four different principles of life. Now, rising above this platform, we may worship some demigods. Like I used to worship this Skanda. You know, Skanda means Kartikeya, you know. Say Kartikeya, Durga, or Shiva. We may worship them, some demigods. They are also very great personalities, but they are not eternal shelter for the living entity. The living entity has to do these four activities in relation to whom? Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why the three types of Puranas, you know, Tamoguni, Rajoguni, Satoguni Puranas. You'll find Satoguni Puranas are the purest. And they talk about worship of Sitaram, Lakshmi Narayan and Radha Krishna. So, hearing about them. Hearing, glorifying, remembering and worshipping. That should be done in relation to them. Go ahead.
Any man from any
society. Especially in the modern society, all activities are more or less dependent on hearing and glorifying.
Any man from any social status becomes a well-known man in human society within a very short time if he is simply glorified truly or falsely in the daily newspapers. Sometimes political leaders of a particular party are also advertised by newspaper propaganda. And by such a method of glorification, an insignificant man becomes an important man within no time.
You see, generally when people go for voting, how do you think they vote about a person? Often, whichever fellow can put maximum pictures, you know, his own pictures in many parts of the city, you know, vote for so-and-so, or somebody puts a hand, somebody puts two, you know, different symbols they put, you know. And then they bombard you in various ways, you know, like Pepsi, 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 you know. Then you go to your shop and ask, please give me Pepsi, you know. Why you buy Pepsi? Because although there are so many drinks, you heard about Pepsi a lot. Then you ask for Pepsi when you go. Same with people also, you go for voting, and then you think, hey, this mustache wala fellow, same fellow I have seen many places. Here also is there, okay, put that. I vote for him. And so whichever fellow can collect maximum money, then he gets the vote. Because he can use that money for canvassing and propaganda. He can do that. Whoever can powerfully make propaganda, then they get voted. Because people don't know about the fellow. And once he has captured the post, what he does? That 4 years or 5 years, he gets into a mode of accumulating for the next election. Now he has to save money and keep it so that he can use it for next canvassing. And in this way, he keeps on holding his position. So proper saying further, but such a propaganda or false glorification of an unqualified person cannot bring any good. either for the particular man or for the society. It is simply useless, all temporary guys who are. So that's why in his lecture, I heard Prabhupada's lecture on this verse. You know what Prabhupada is saying? We are very much careful for the ash, stool and earth, and not careful of the living force which is moving this body, he is saying. What is the meaning of this? When our material body dies, it simply turns into a pile of ashes when we burn it. Or if the body is thrown in the silent towers, Parsis, they throw it. And the eagles come and eat it. So it turns into eagle's stool. Or sometimes if it is thrown in a graveyard or something, not burnt, then the foxes come and eat, dogs come and eat, then turns into stool. Or it becomes the earth, it mixes with the earth. So he's saying this material body is given so much importance by the people. But then he's saying they are not careful of the living force which is moving this body, which is the Atma. So people have forgotten. So in the same lecture, Prabhupada said, what is animal propensity? He says, eat voraciously, sleep 24 hours, have sex life without restriction, and have atom bomb for the defense. He's saying, you ought to know what are the four things Prabhupada says? Eat voraciously, sleep 24 hours, have sex life without restriction, and have atom bomb for defense. He's saying. So this is the life of modern man, he's saying. Isn't it? Yeah. And then glorify such kind of people. You know, who are Ayaram Gayaram, who come and stay for some time and push off. And you glorify them. So and so ki Jindabad, so and so ki Murdabad or whatever. And then you will get a post also, he'll give you. In his party. You know. And then you can jump also from one party to another party like a monkey. You know, whenever you feel this party is very weak, you go to that party, you know. So he's saying crazy glorification. Yeah. Go ahead.
There may be some temporary reactions to such propaganda, but there are no permanent effects. Therefore, such activities are a waste of time. The actual object of glorification is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has created everything
before
us.
The actual object of glorification is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has created everything manifested before us. Yeah.
We have broadly discussed this fact from the beginning of Janmadi Asya Shloka of this Bhagavatam. The tendency to glorify others or hear others must be turned to the real object of glorification.
The tendency to glorify others or hear others must be turned to the real object of glorification, Supreme Being, and that will bring happiness. Like today, one gentleman came. He has been the chief commissioner of entire Maharashtra. So under him, 72 commissioners work. He is the number one man. So he had come to me. So he was telling me, he is inviting us to his house for program and all. So he said, in his life, he always had a fascination for Vivekananda, he was telling. He said, I consider him a hero among saints, he was telling. So he also used to wear a turban, like him, and buy a saffron turban and wear. So his parents became a little afraid that he will leave everything and go. So he told his parents that even if I leave everything and become a hero like Vivekananda, how wonderful it will be, he was telling. So he had that fascination. Of course, now he is married and having 3-4 children, and now he is retired now from his post just recently. But why I was telling you this, we certainly have some fascination for somebody in life. And then when you come to the point of understanding the first verse of Bhagavatam, what is that verse? Janmadyasya yataha anvaya. Then we should give up all kinds of glorification of anyone other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You can only glorify the pure devotees who are surrendered souls, who are surrendered to Krishna. And you have to glorify them also in relation to Krishna. Not separately. Otherwise there is no meaning. So why we glorify devotees? Because they surrender to Krishna. They take us to Krishna. So we glorify them. Otherwise actually glorifying anybody else has no meaning at all. As Prabhupada says here. Yeah. And Prabhupada also explains the word Satvatampati. Yeah. Prabhupada saying that Lord is the master of everyone in this world, including demons also, isn't it? Demons and devotees. But devotees recognize that fact, that Lord is the master. That's why Lord is called a Satvatampati. See, when you say Krishna is Satvatampati, Satvatam means devotees. Is he Pati of only Satvatam or not demons? He is actually a Pati of everyone. But the devotees recognize it, and the demons don't recognize it. In fact, the demons don't care for God, and God also doesn't care for the demons. Prabhupada is saying. And God leaves them. Let them do whatever they want to do, whatever work they want to do, and let their work become more ripe. And let them get punishment under Maya's custody. So Krishna leaves them to Maya. But as far as devotees are concerned, Prabhupada says, God does not take responsibility for the demons, but He takes responsibility for devotees. That is why devotees should hear about God, He is saying. What is the reason for hearing about Krishna? Because Krishna is willing to take responsibility for His devotees. So that is why we have to hear about Krishna. It's important. If you say, I am a Krishna's devotee, one of the first lakshanas is that you should regularly hear about Krishna. If somebody says, I am Krishna devotee, but I never hear about Krishna, that means you are not devotees. Okay, what will happen if you don't hear about Krishna? Can you tell me? Say, you are a Krishna devotee. There are many bhavuk devotees in India, correct? They say, sir, I am a great devotee of Krishna. Then I ask that fellow, how do you say you are a great devotee? Sir, whenever you sing, tears come in my eyes. That's why I am a great devotee. Sir, I am simply bhavuk devotees. Bhavu or bua? Bhavu, na? Bhavu. In Maharashtra they call it bua, no? Isn't it? Bhavu, bhavu they call it. Bhavuk means one who has a lot of bhavana. He cries. But then he watches a movie. There, if there's a tragedy movie, he cries there also. Isn't it? So what kind of bhakti is that bhakti? So the first step in devotional service is to hear about Krishna. And by hearing about Krishna, a devotee can behave properly. Otherwise, devotee will not know proper knowledge about Krishna. He will get cheated. That's what I want you to hear. That's why he says, Tasmat yekena manasa. One-pointed attention of the mind. One should hear Bhagavan Sattvatampati. Shrotavyaha. It means you can read it like this. Tasmad ekena manasa shrotavyaha. With one-pointed attention, you hear. About whom? Bhagavan Sattvatampati. It's like that. Then you can also say, Tasmad ekena manasa kirtitavyaha. With one-pointed attention, glorify. Whom? Bhagavan Sattvatampati. Same thing again. Tasmad ekena manasa dhyayaha. Tasmad ekena manasa pujyaha. You can apply it to all the four. The one-point attention one should do. But when once you hear first, then you can also do kirtan. Then you can do dhyaya, meditation, and then worship. We'll recite the next verse. Yat anudyasina yuktaha karma granti nibandhanam chindanti ko vidastasya kona kuryat katharathim. With sword in hand, intelligent men cut through the binding knots of reactionary work by remembering the personality of Godhead. Therefore, who will not pay attention to His message? Please read the purport.
The contact of the spiritual path with material elements creates a knot which must be cut if one wants to be liberated from the actions and reactions of the fruitive work. Liberation means freedom from the cycle of reactionary work. This liberation automatically follows for one.
You can underline that sentence. This liberation automatically follows for one who constantly remembers the transcendental pastimes of the personality of Godhead.
This is because all the activities of the Supreme Lord, His Leela, are transcendental to the modes of the material energy.
Kunti Mahani says, no? Nivritta guna vrittaye. What is that verse? Namo kinchana vittaya nivritta guna vrittaye. What is the nivritta guna vrittaye? Nivritta guna vrittaye means your activities are beyond the three modes. Nivritta guna. Nivritta guna means beyond three modes. Yeah.
They are all attractive spiritual activities, and therefore constant association with the spiritual activities.
Constant association with the spiritual activities of the Supreme Lord gradually spiritualizes the conditioned soul and ultimately severs the knot of material bondage.
Liberation.
See, elsewhere in Bhagavatam, example is given that the your fly brings and puts a caterpillar inside a hole, and time to time comes and stings. And then it goes away. And after some time comes and stings. So this worm keeps thinking of the fly. When is it going to come next time and hit me, sting me? You know, he's afraid, he's thinking. So by thinking of the fly again and again and again, gradually the caterpillar develops wings, oneself, and it becomes a fly also, and then it flies out. In the same manner, by hearing Bhagavatam, reading how the spiritual world is completely spiritual, Lord's body is spiritual. There is no kalmash in Lord's body. There is no flesh, bones, tool, anything. It's all spiritual substance. Hearing about Lord's sweet nature and qualities of Krishna, characteristics of Krishna, pastimes of Krishna, gradually by hearing over and over again and by remembering them and holding them in the mind and absorbing one's consciousness, see, these are all different stages. First is attraction. Then there is attention. Then there is, what is the third step? Absorption. Then there is attachment. What is the last one? The first is affection. Fifth one is affection. Yeah. So, first is attraction. First you have little attraction, but then you hear. Then what happens? By that? Then your attention comes. Like right now, all of you are far more attentive than 2-3 years ago. Correct? First time when you came to class, our mind must have been wandering like anything. By a period of time, we become more and more attentive. Then attention comes. Then afterwards, absorption. What is absorption? Absorption means you forget where you are sitting. You are transported to another realm. When you are hearing the katha of the Lord. Especially, you will have this experience when you are reading Ajamila section, or Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Gajendra Moksha. You read and see Bhagavatam, you will be completely absorbed. So much so that you will be transported to another plane. And then comes attachment. Then we develop attachment to Lord. Once attachment comes, just like a mother remembers the child fondly, like that the devotee can always remember the Lord's form in the mind. And then last one is, that turns into affection for the Lord. Yeah. Once the attraction comes to the affection platform, then one's mind will rush to the remembrance of the Lord. It's asakti stage. Very advanced stage. And carry on.
Liberation from material bondage is therefore a byproduct of devotional service. Attainment of spiritual knowledge is not sufficient to ensure liberation. Such knowledge must be overcoated with devotional service so that ultimately the devotional service alone predominates. Then liberation is made possible. Even the reactionary work of the fruitive workers can lead to one to liberation when it is overcoated with devotional service. Karma, overcoated with devotional service, is called Karma Yoga. Similarly, empirical knowledge overcoated with devotional service is called Jnana Yoga. But the pure Bhakti Yoga is independent of such karma and jnana because it alone can not only endow one with liberation from conditional life but also award one the transcendental loving service to the Lord. Therefore, any sensible man who is above the average man with a poor fund of knowledge must constantly remember the personality of Godhead by hearing about Him, by glorifying Him, by remembering Him and by worshipping Him always without cessation. That is the perfect way of devotional service. The Goswamis of Vrindavan, who were authorized by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to preach the bhakti cult, rigidly followed this rule and made immense literatures of transcendental service science for our benefit. They have chalked out ways for all classes of man in terms of the different castes and orders of life in pursuance of the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam and similar other authoritative scriptures.
In this verse, the most important word is karma granti. See, yad anudhyasina yukta. Asina means sword. Here the hearing is compared to a sword. Why? Because attentively those who hear, what happens? They get a sword by which they can cut the knot. And what is that knot? Prabhupada gives many examples for what this knot is. First he says, we are bound by the laws of the state, either civil or criminal. Correct? So, criminal law is even more painful. Because the punishments are very severe. If somebody does a criminal, one becomes a criminal by breaking the laws of the state, then punishments are severe. But otherwise, one has to be under the state laws. One cannot escape. Similarly, with Krishna also, either we are in Krishna's custody or we are in Maya's custody. We cannot be independent of both. It's not possible. That's why wise people will stay under the shelter of Krishna and become Satvatampati. If you become Satvata, then you are fortunate. Then you will be happy, he says. And then he says, otherwise what happens, just like a criminal is tied by ropes, we also become tied by the Maya's Avranatmika Shakti, he says. You know Avranatmika Shakti? Or the other one? Prakshepatmika Shakti. Avranatmika means covering potency. Maya completely covers us. So he's saying, this knot, what is this knot? Karma Granthi. He's saying many knots are there. One he says, this motor car civilization is a knot, he says. Why? Because man has produced motor cars to increase his comforts and luxuries, but when the oil gets over, then all the civilization will come to an end. So no more, it's going to come. According to the prediction of scientists also, next 30-40 years, there will be no more oil available. Then all the production of motor cars cannot be done anymore. Then all this fast-paced culture will come to a halt. So he says that this culture has created a very big knot for us. Why it is called as a knot? Karma bandhan. Because it makes people do ugra karma. Ugra karma means running here and there without doing any tangible devotional service to the Lord. Spending all one's time morning to night simply in the name of filling up the belly. They are not having enough time for devoting to think on higher subject matters. And he is also saying, this advertisement knot, he is saying. He is giving an example. They are saying that if you smoke this cigarette, you will feel cool inside. Prabhupada gives the example. He is saying, if you smoke cigarette, you will burn inside. How can you feel cool inside? But because you think you will feel cool, that is why it's a knot, he says. In this way, you get cheated. And then he says, sex life is a knot, he says. Why? Sex life is the chain which shackles the conditioned souls and keeps them securely held in this material world. One has to, whether one is a brahmachari or a grihastha, one has to understand that this bondage, if one doesn't understand this to be a bondage, then one will be stuck up in this material world by this knot also. Because the Vedic life is so designed, first one takes brahmachari training and then you become a grihastha. And grihastha also, you have regulated sex control life. And then gradually you will say, as you proceed towards vanaprastha, you gradually give it up. And again, when you come to vanaprastha, you completely give it up. In sannyas, you completely give it up. Out of four ashrams, Prabhupada says, in three ashrams, it's prohibited. What does that mean? That means out of the four, only in one ashram it is allowed, so that one can procreate children. For the procreation purpose, it's allowed. So one has to understand that to be a knot. Otherwise, one will be shackled by sex life, one can never go ahead. Now what happens with this sex life? Sex life is not only man, woman uniting together is called sex. But sex also means, ato griha chetra shruta apta vittar janasya mohai maham ameti. You'll find a man who does not hear Bhagavatam, he becomes blinded by ignorance. And such people you will find, they will wastefully spend too much money making big, big bungalows, buying big, big cars, expanding their material life so much as if they are going to live in this world forever. You see, even if you become a grihastha, you have to keep your life simple. Yes, you can have a home, you can have a wife, you can have children, you can have a job. But you should keep it as simple as possible so that, like, the bigger the things, more is the maintenance, correct? Is it not? Like say, instead of having a 2 BHK, and I have a huge bungalow with a 10 BHK I have. Then I will think, I have made such a big house, now how will I fill it up? Now I have to get some things to fill it up. Then when I fill it up with many, many things, I have to maintain them also. So that is why, that is also not. So when man and woman come together only for a materialistic purpose, then they expand their material life and they become miserable. They suffer like anything. So all these are called as karma granthi. And he is proposing, it's like a film spool. In a film spool, what happens? You find picture after picture after picture, different scenes you find. Similarly, the activities I did in the previous life has created the current life film spool. And the activities that I am doing now will create future film spool. And hearing Srimad Bhagavatam means cutting off the film spool and throwing it away. You don't allow it to continue. Zoom, 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 zoom. The film spool is huge. It keeps on moving, life after life after life. At one point of time, you hear Bhagavatam, take the yat anudhyasana yukta karma granthi nibanta. Take that asina, sword of hearing Bhagavatam message. How do you cut that? By realizing I am not the body, I am the soul. My relation is with Krishna eternally. Huh? And then you engage in devotional service and gradually you dry up the material life. Huh? And enliven the spiritual life. Advance in spiritual life. That's how we advance. Beautiful verse it is. Very famous verse. We will repeat the verse again. Yadanudhyasina yuktaha karma granti nibandhanam chindanti kovidastasya kona kuryat katharathim. See, Prabhupada also quoted this verse. Satsanga chadi kaina asate vilas te karane laglaye karma bandha fas. He quoted this verse, very famous verse. Satsanga chadi, if you give up the satsanga, association of good devotees, asate vilas. Satsanga chadi kaino asate vilas. Then you will be delighting in asat. Asatyare satya kori mani. We will consider the asatyare visatya. And then, te karane, because of that lagila ye karma bandha fast. This karma granti has captured my neck. Even in that song he sings in Gopinath, he says, karma bandha fast, he says. This karma bandha fast has come on my neck, he is saying. That also. We will recite next verse. Shushrusho shraddha dhanasya vasudeva katharuchi Syan mahat sevaya vipra punyatirtha nishevanat. O twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely free from all vice, great service is done. By such service one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. So from verse 16 to 22 is also very, very important verses. We are not going to rush through. We will meet one more class. And we will complete 16 to 22. And I think along with the 22, next meeting we will be able to cover the whole chapter. Because this section is very important, I went a bit slow. But after 22 it will go fast. So you all got the new schedule now of my Wednesday classes. You don't know? You are announced. Recently emails are sent. Yeah, Antadipu has sent email too, you can see. But earlier I made a list of dates. And now the rates have become changed. You can also put up in the notice board. Congregation devotees today, many of them couldn't come because they may not be aware probably, you know. It all does, huh? Yeah, you can put up the notice board. So, you can come according to those dates and we will complete. I hope you all are appreciating what is going on. Is it easy to understand for you? Or is it getting difficult? It's clear, no? Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Some prasad is there for them? That